إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Indeed, the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our last session during the month of Ramadan. As we approach the final day and night, or the final night, and what follows, yani, today is what, 29th day? 29th day, so we have one more day of fasting now. Tonight our topic, we're going to switch from the topic that we have been covering for the past few weeks, postpone the continuation of that topic, the effect or the impact of the Quran in mending the heart, until next week. And tonight, inshallah, due to it being the end of the month of Ramadan, with the approach of the day of Eid and the other matters that are related to it, inshallah, we're going to just take this opportunity to deal with, at least briefly, some very important matters, the first of them being matters related to Zakatul Fitr or Sadaqatul Fitr, and the second of them being the Salatul Eid al-Fitr. And if we have time, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we also want to talk and briefly mention some points related to the Sunan of the day of Eid. Keeping in mind, of course, that we're living in an unusual circumstance that perhaps none of us have experienced previously, and that is due to the, I don't know what to call it, the spread of this coronavirus, and all of what it has, the situation that it has brought about in terms of the masajid for the most part being closed and people being remaining in their homes, and so on and so forth. So with that in mind, we want to talk a little bit about some of the special circumstances due to the spread of the coronavirus related to Zakatul Fitr and Salatul Eid. And we also want to just also mention some of the general rulings or matters that outside of this special situation, any things that we need to know about Zakatul Fitr and Salatul Eid. So we're going to start with Zakatul Fitr, and I'm going to read a very brief presentation that some of us may have seen dealing with Zakatul Fitr and these special circumstances from Sheikh Sulaiman al-Ruhaili, Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him. And he has mentioned several points, I guess 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 7. Maybe 7 or 8 points related to Zakatul Fitr. He began by saying Zakatul Fitr fi dhil al-hadr. But the matters related to Zakatul Fitr in consideration of the, what do we call this? pandemic. Of people being confined, people being confined to their homes, and restrictions on movement and things like that. So the first thing he mentions concerning Zakatul Fitr is number one, لا يجوز دفع Zakatul Fitr نقودا على الراجح. Okay, that it is not permissible to distribute the Zakatul Fitr, to fulfill the obligation of Zakatul Fitr by giving money according to the preponderant or the strongest opinion concerning this matter. And this, any expression على الراجح, indicates to us that there's some difference of opinion about this matter. And the Shaykh, his view is that this is the stronger view, and wallahu alam, it appears to be the stronger view, that it is not permissible to fulfill the obligation of distributing Zakatul Fitr with money. And this is a discussion that is, requires a setting, a sitting in and of itself. But in any case, he just made this statement like this, And we have sent some fatwa out previously. In the last few days, some of the fatwa of Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, in which he clarifies and proves that this is the stronger opinion, that zakatul fitr should be given foodstuffs, not in money. The second statement that the Shaykh makes is لا يجوز تقديم إخراجها عن وقتها وهو قبل العيد بيومين إلى صلاة العيد على الراجح. Again, the stronger view concerning this matter is that it is not permissible to distribute the zakatul fitr before its time, and its time is just before the Eid, before the Salatul Eid, on the morning of the Salatul Eid or on the night before it, or it can be preceded by 1 or 2 days. And Sheikh Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Al-Imam Abdulaziz ibn Baz rahimahullah, in some of his fatawa, even said 3 days, and Allahu A'lam, it appears as though his explanation of this is that if, for example, right now we had expected that the Eid could be on Saturday, then a person could begin to distribute zakatul fitr 1 or 2 days before, meaning on Friday or Thursday. If it turned out, as it has turned out, as we came to know just now, not long ago, that the Eid is going to be on Sunday, then that means that those who distributed their zakatul fitr on Thursday, that will be 3 days before the Eid. So this is what is correct, that is permissible to distribute the zakatul fitr 1 or 2 days or even 3 days before the actual day of Eid. It's not permissible to distribute before that. And the Shaykh said, al-Raji, and this indicates that indeed there is some difference of opinion about it, and this appears to be what is clearly the stronger opinion. After this, point number 3, he says that afdal and yukhrijuha al-insan bi-nafsihi. That what is better and what is preferable is that a person should distribute the zakatul fitr himself. A person should distribute it oneself. But in light of the confinement and the restrictions due to the spread of this virus, if people are in a place where there is some limited restriction, if certain periods of the time of the day or the night people are not allowed, then the person should distribute it in the time that they are allowed to go out. And if they are in a total restriction where people are not allowed to go out of their houses at all, they would have to make some other arrangement if people are not able to go out. Okay, so the Shaykh, he says here, it is better that a person give the zakatul fitr themselves, and if they have some time period in which they are allowed to go out, then they should do it in that time period. If a person is not allowed to give it during the times in which this restriction or this curfew is lifted, or because of a complete lockdown, and then in this case he can call the person who he intends to give the zakatul fitr to on the telephone, and he can ask that person to authorize him, the one who's giving it, to receive it on their behalf, so that he would accept it on behalf of that poor person in the time period that is allowed for it to be distributed, on the day of the Eid, before the Eid, the Salatul Eid, or a day or two before, or three. He can receive it on behalf of that person and then give it to them, whenever it's possible. So this is really important for us to consider. If a person finds it not possible, they are not able to get out in the allowed times, or they have no permissible time to get out and to distribute it, a day or two before the Salatul Eid, then they can call the person, the needy person that they intend to give it to, and ask that person, can you authorize me to receive it on your behalf? And then they should receive it in the proper time and give it to them when they are able to. The Shaykh also says that it's permissible to authorize some of the official charity organizations that are trustworthy, al-jihad al-khayriya al-rasmiya al-mawthuqa, trustworthy official charity organizations or agencies, is permissible to authorize, to appoint that person as your representative at any time, but with the condition that they actually distribute the zakatul fitr, the foodstuff, that they distribute it in its proper time, that they don't, and you can authorize somebody before the day or two before the Eid, but yani with the condition, the agreement from that person who is trustworthy, or that agency that's trustworthy, that they distribute it in its proper time. Yani meaning a day or two or three before the Salat or Eid, to those who are entitled to receive it. Also, the Shaykh, he says, when you appoint somebody as your representative, as a wakil, to distribute the zakat to fitr on your behalf, it is better that you agree with that, make an agreement with whoever you authorize, that it be distributed in the country where you are residing. Yani that the zakat to fitr, it is preferable, it is better. And the people who have more right to it are the needy, the poor and needy people in the place where you are living, where you are fasting, and where you are distributing, where it becomes obligatory upon you to distribute the zakatul fitr. However, it is permissible to give the zakatul fitr or to have it distributed in another country, as some of the scholars have said, especially if the people in another land are more needy than the people in the place where you are. Then the Shaykh, he says something that requires some careful consideration. If a person is not able, if a Muslim is not able, لم يتمكن من إخراجها في وقتها ولم يجد موثوقا يوكله في إخراجها في وقتها فإنها لا تسقط عنه وتبقى في ذمته ويخرجها وقت تيسر إخراجها وهي زكاة. وهو معذور يعني إن كان قد اتق الله ما استطاع. If it happened that a person in these circumstances that we're living in today was unable to distribute the zakatul fitr in his time, and they didn't find a trustworthy person, and here, and trustworthy is very important here in the description of the person that you appoint, because you shouldn't just appoint anybody, but you should appoint someone that you believe is going to fulfill the trust that you have given to them. They are trustworthy, therefore you believe they're going to fulfill the trust, that they're going to give the zakatul fitr in food to the person who is needy and in the time that is legislated for it to be distributed. If a person didn't find anyone trustworthy and they couldn't do it themselves, then that person should distribute the zakatul fitr. Then the obligation of distributing the zakatul fitr is not what? لا تسقط. It's not dropped. Yani, they are not relieved of that responsibility. It doesn't go away. Rather, they remain responsible to distribute that zakatul fitr whenever they were able to. Yani, whenever it became possible or easy for them to distribute it. And in this case, the Shaykh says, وَهِيَ zakat, and it will be still considered as zakat. And that person is ma'adhur. Yani, they are excused. If, in fact, they have done everything that they can in order to observe the obligation that is upon them. Yani, if they have made every effort to do what they were responsible to do, and yet in spite of that they were unable to distribute it themselves, and they were unable to find a trustworthy person to distribute it, then in that case they would be excused, but they still have to give the zakatul fitr. And this last point that the Shaykh mentions here does require some clarification, because he said it will still be considered as zakat, and it appears as though he means by that it would still be considered as zakatul fitr, even though it hasn't been distributed in his time. And we know that the Prophet ﷺ said that if a person doesn't distribute the zakatul fitr before the Salatul Eid, then they still have to give it, but it would be considered as a sadaqah from the sadaqat. Yani it would be just a general charity. It would not be considered as zakatul fitr. In any case, it appears as though the Shaykh is saying here that the person is ma'adhur, because they did everything that they could and they were unable to do it. In that case, if they distribute it, yani even after his time, inshallah, it will be acceptable as fulfilling the obligation of zakatul fitr. Wallahu a'lam. The last point that the Shaykh makes is, in the case where the congregational Eid Salatul Eid is not held due to the current circumstances or conditions that we're living under, then zakatul fitr must be given before a person performs the Eid prayer at home. And Sheikh Sulaiman Rahili, his view concerning this matter is that if the person under these circumstances that we're living under, if the congregational prayer is not held and a person performs the Salatul Eid in their home, they have to distribute the Zakatul Fitr before their performance of the Eid prayer at home. If he does not see it permissible to perform the Eid prayer at home, any meaning that there's difference of opinion amongst the scholars about the Salatul Eid, if a person missed the Salatul Eid either due to not making it to the place of the Zakatul Eid, Salatul Eid in time, or due to there being no Salatul Eid being performed in the place where they are. In either case, if somebody holds the view that if you didn't perform the Salatul Eid in Jama'ah at the place where the Jama'ah is being held, then there's no Eid Salat for you. It's not permissible to perform it at home. This is the view of some of the scholars. So if a person holds this view, and he does not see it permissible to perform the Eid prayer at home, then he must give the zakat before the Eid prayer time ends. Yani before the ending of the time for the performance of the Eid prayer. And perhaps we'll look at this in a little more detail. And generally speaking, the time for the Salatul Eid is after sunrise, about 15 or 20 minutes after the sun has risen. After the sun has risen, about 15 or 20 minutes after the sun has risen is the beginning of the time of the Salatul Eid, up until just before Zawal, yani when the sun is at its highest point and begins to decline. So here the Shaykh is saying what? That if a person doesn't see the permissibility of performing the Salatul Eid at home, then they are required to give the Zakatul Fitr before the end of the time of the Eid Salat, which is up until just before Dhuhr, when the sun is at its highest position in the sky. This is the end of what the Shaykh said. I want to, on the last point, I want to read, from questions that came to the Mufti of Saudi Arabia, the Al-Mufti Al-Aam, Rais Hayat Al-Kibar Al-Ulama, Rais Al-Aam Lil-Buhuth Al-Ilmiyya Wal-Iftah, Shaykh Abdulaziz Ibn Abdul Al Muhammad Ali Shaykh, Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him. And he was given several questions recently, one of them being related to the end of the time for the distribution of Zakatul Fitr under the circumstances that we are living under right now. And what he said is slightly, perhaps a little bit different than what we just said in terms of the person, the time when a person is going to distribute the Zakatul Fitr. Does it last up until the end of the time of the Zakatul Fitr or not? In any case, the Shaykh, he says here, the Mufti, Shaykh Abdulaziz Ali Shaykh, Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him. This was the third question that came to him. And the question was, it is well known that the end of the time for Zakatul Fitr is with the ending of the Salatul Eid. The completion of the performance of the Salatul Eid. مِنَ الْمَعْلُومِ أَنَّ آخِرَ وَقْتٍ لِزَكَاةُ الْفِطْرِ بِإِنْقِضَاءِ صَلَاةَ الْعِيدِ. Yani the end of the time of the distribution, for the distribution of Zakatul Fitr is with the completion of the Salatul Eid. However, it may happen in some places that the Salatul Eid in some cities is not going to be performed. In Saudi Arabia, it's not going to be performed in the Masajid except in Al-Masjid Al-Haram, Al-Makkah and Al-Masjid Al-Nabawi and Medina. In light of that the Salatul Eid will not be performed in many cities, and likewise around the world in many places, the Salatul Eid is not going to be performed in many places. So, مَتَى يَكُونُ آخِرَ وَقْتِهَا يعني آخر وقت الصلاة of Zakatul Fitr بالنسبة للمدن الأخرى يعني the cities in which there's not going to be any Salatul Eid. What will be the ending of the time that's permissible for the distribution of Zakatul Fitr? And then the Shaykh, he says, there's a continuation of this question, but it's unrelated to our point. He says, in answer to this question, آخر وقت لإخراج زكاة الفطر. And the second part of the question, وللتكبير المشروع ليلة عيد الفطر والصباح عيد في مكان الذي لا تقام فيه صلاة العيد. What is the end of the time for the distribution of زكاة الفطر? And likewise, for the takbir, the saying of Allahu Akbar that's legislated on the night of Eid al-Fitr and in the morning of the day of Eid. What will be the timing, the end of the time for Ikhraj Zakatul Fitr in those places in which the Salatul Eid is not going to be observed? And he said that it will be the amount of time after the rising of the sun, the amount of time in which it will be possible for a person to perform the Salatul Eid in that particular place. Yani, in other words, wherever a person is, after the sun has risen, the amount of time that it would take for a person to perform the Salatul Eid, that amount of time after the sunrise is the amount of time in which a person is allowed to distribute the Zakatul Fitr. Yani, it appears from his answer here that that the time for the distribution of Zakatul Fitr in the place where there is no Salatul Eid is not to the end of the time for Salatul Eid, rather it's the end of the amount of time in which it would take a person to perform the Salatul Eid had there been a prayer performed, yani, in that particular place. So in any case, what is probably safer is that if a person is in a place where there's no Salatul Eid being performed, just to take the safe position, it is better that the Zakatul Fitr should be performed, before the ending of the amount of time that it would take to perform the Salatul Eid, if they were to perform it after the sun has risen. So, in a practical sense, sunrise is, what time is sunrise here?
Sunrise is 5:40.
So if we waited 20 minutes to 6 o'clock, that would be the time when it's permissible to perform Salatul Eid, and the amount of time that it would take to perform the Salat, let's give it 15 minutes or even 20 minutes, yani till 6:20, then the Zakatul Fitr should have been distributed before 6:20. According to the other opinion that's mentioned by Sheikh Ruhaili, yani it would be up until just before Dhuhr. But what is safer is that a person should, yani, distribute it in the earlier time, just to, yani, escape from the possible difference of opinion here. Okay, after mentioning this, I want to read, yani, briefly some fatawa from the permanent committee, Lajna Ad-Da'ima, from the scholars of Saudi Arabia. There are a number of fatawa that they gave in reference to the Zakatul Fitr in general, outside of these special circumstances that we are living under now. And in some of those fatawa are points, yani, of benefit that I think are of general benefit, even in light of the circumstances that we are living under right now. What is important is that right now, in spite of the circumstances that we are living under, everyone who is required to distribute Zakatul Fitr must still distribute it. They must distribute it in food, they must distribute it to those who are entitled to receive it, and they must distribute it within its proper time. If a person is unable to do it themselves, they should appoint a trustworthy person to do it. If they are unable to distribute it, and they are unable to find a trustworthy person, then they should call the person who they want to give it to, and allow that person to appoint them as their representative to receive it on their behalf within its proper time, before the Salatul Eid, even 1 or 2 or 3 days before, and then hold it until they're able to reach that person and get it to them. Okay, as far as general fatawa related to Zakatul Fitr, yani, the Lajna Ad-Da'ima was asked, is it obligatory to distribute Zakatul Fitr, all of it, to those entitled to it, on the day of Eid or before it? And they said, that which is preferable is to distribute the Zakatul Fitr on the day of Eid, before one goes out to the Eid prayer. Probably most of the people are not going out to the Eid prayer, so in any case, it's preferable to distribute on the day of Eid, before the prayer is performed, or before its time, yani, the time as we just mentioned. However, they said it is permissible to distribute it 1 or 2 days before the day of Eid, and success is from Allah, and may the salat and salam be upon the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is a general ruling concerning Zakatul Fitr, that it's preferable to distribute it on the day of Eid, before the Salatul Eid. If that became difficult, then at least 1 or 2 days or 3 days before it can be distributed. Second question, who has the right to receive Zakatul Fitr? And this is a question that, yani, I'm going to mention the question as it came, but we're going to make it in a general form too. We want to understand it from a general perspective. Should the poor people who use al-qat, yani the leaves of certain trees which act as an excitant or an intoxicant when chewed, yani this is commonly used by the people in Yemen, and I don't want to distinguish the people of Yemen or point them out specifically, but it's commonly known to be used there. and or people who use tobacco products, smoke cigarettes, cigars, or whatever like this. Are these, should poor people who are engaged in this type of behavior be given zakat al-fitr or not? Okay, so in the general sense we're saying what? Should poor people who are sinful, who openly are engaged in sinful behavior, should those people also be entitled to receive zakat al-fitr? They're engaging, the legend has said, they're engaging in such things does not prohibit them from being given something from the zakat al-fitr, since they do not go outside of the community of Islam due to this behavior. Meaning that a sinful person who's poor is still entitled to receive zakat al-fitr, even though they might not be the best person to give it to, but in nonetheless it's permissible to give it to them as long as they have not engaged in behavior that takes them out of Islam. They said rather these people are believers due to whatever iman that they have, and they are sinners due to whatever sins that they are engaging in, and it is obligatory upon the ruler to stop them from engaging in such behavior or punish them accordingly. Here the point of this fatwa, yani in my mind, the point of this fatwa is that the person who engages in sinful behavior that doesn't amount to kufr is still a Muslim, and if they're poor, they are still entitled to receive zakat al-fitr. The next fatwa that clarifies a little bit more, or goes a little bit more into this particular topic, and brings any further points of great benefit, is the question. The question came: there are some men in the marketplaces requesting zakat al-fitr. Yani they're in the public places in the Muslim lands requesting zakat al-fitr, but we do not know if they are mutadayyinun, yani people who observe Islamic duties and laws. We don't know what is their religious condition. And there are others, another group of people, whose condition appears to be good, and who spend their zakat, which comes to them, on their children and their families. Yani people who, it looks like they are more worthy to receive the zakat al-fitr, because it looks like these are good people, and they're going to use it for what it is legislated for. And then there are other people who are receiving a salary, and working on a job, and they are weak in their religious observances. Yani they appear to not be very religious. Is it permissible to give zakat al-fitr to them or not? Yani different types of people may be requesting zakat al-fitr, and their conditions are different. Yani are these people allowed to be given zakat al-fitr? The answer that they gave is zakat al-fitr is to be given to fuqara al-muslimin. Yani that the zakat al-fitr should be given to poor Muslims in general. Two points here. The first point is that the zakat al-fitr should only be given to Muslims. It shouldn't be given to other people. In some cities in America, the Muslims give zakat al-fitr to anybody who they think is poor. Zakat al-fitr should only be given to Muslims. Second point, it should only be given to the poor Muslims. They said, as long as they are, even though they are sinners, but as long as they are sinners whose sin does not take them out of Islam. Because if they're engaging in sin that takes them out of Islam, then they are not entitled to receive zakat al-fitr because they are not Muslims. They said, what is to be considered concerning the state of poverty of the one who takes the zakat al-fitr? What is to be considered is their apparent condition, how they look outwardly. Yani we don't have to search behind people and follow them home and try to see do they have money or not have money, but their apparent condition is what is to be considered, even if they are actually secretly not in need. That's not our responsibility to search and see who secretly has or doesn't have. It is required of the one who gives the zakat al-fitr to actively seek out and search for al-fuqara al-tayyibin, yani poor people who are good people. Now here, in this fatwa, yani the legend of Daima is saying that it is the responsibility of the person who's obligated to give the zakat al-fitr to actually make some effort to look for the people who are not only entitled to receive because they are poor, but those who are also worthy to receive because they are good people who are worshipping Allah as much as a person is able, according to their ability. In other words, yani that the fuqara al-tayyibin, yani they are giving a further description to the poor people that they should be good Muslims. Although they said previously that even people who are sinful can receive zakat al-fitr, but it is better, what I am understanding here is that it is better that they give it to not only those who are entitled due to their condition of being needy, but also those who are more worthy due to them being observant of the laws of Allah. As much as a person is able to, then they should make some effort to do so. If it becomes clear later on that the person who received that zakatul fitr was really without need, this does not harm the one who has given it. Indeed, his obligation is fulfilled and he is given credit. As long as he has what? Made some effort to try to give it to those who are actually really needy. And again, I want to emphasize here that if there are two Muslims and both of them are needy and only one of them can be given because it's not sufficient for two, then the one who is more worthy is the one who is more observant of the laws of Allah than the one who is yani, disobedient to Allah openly especially. The next issue here is related to authorizing organizations or agencies or masjids. And this is very common, especially in America, and maybe not in some Muslim countries, where the poor people who are yani, seeking the zakatul fitr actually come into the public to receive it. They make themselves known. But here in America, for the most part, we don't find people just really so much making themselves known to receive zakatul fitr. I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but it's not as common. So therefore, people rely upon the masjid or the Islamic organizations to distribute the zakatul fitr on their behalf. The question is, do masjids and Islamic organizations have the authority to collect zakatul fitr in the form of cash money and distribute it to those entitled to receive it in the form of grains or foodstuffs? And in this case, do they have the authority to collect the zakat as a representative, as a wakil of the one required to offer the zakat? Yani, is it proper, is it acceptable? Are the masjids and Islamic organizations legally authorized to collect the zakatul fitr in foodstuffs or even in money, as long as they're going to take that money and buy food to distribute to those who are needy? Can an organization or a masjid or an imam of a masjid be a representative of the person who's entitled, who is required to give zakatul fitr? The answer is the original rule, the asal, is that zakatul fitr is required to be distributed by the one responsible for it, directly to the one entitled to receive it. The original rule, the asal, is that a person who is required to give zakatul fitr should give it directly to the person who is entitled to receive it. That's the original rule. However, it is permissible for the one upon whom is the obligation to distribute zakatul fitr to appoint someone else from amongst those who are trustworthy, who are honest, who are thiqat, to distribute it on his behalf. So this yani fatwa, the point here that I want to emphasize is that it's better if a person gives the zakatul fitr directly to the person who's entitled to receive it. And there are many benefits from this. Not the least of them, and the most obvious of them, is the ties of relations between the Muslims when we are helping one another directly, as opposed to yani the indirect distribution of zakatul fitr by organizations and agencies where people don't know who's giving it or who's receiving it. I think that yani, if we're able to fulfill the original way of doing it, that the person who's obligated to give it gives it to the person entitled to receive it directly, then this does bring about, especially if they do it with dignity and honor and respect, this brings about a closeness and it builds and solidifies the ties of yani relations in Islam. But in any case, it is permissible to give it to an organization or an agency or a masjid or imam from amongst those who are, they specified, from amongst those who are thiqat, people who are trustworthy, people who are honest. I should be looking at this time. I don't know what I did with my watch. I thought I put it down here. Oh, okay. Allahu musta'an. The next fatwa that came is a lengthy fatwa. I'm going to try to summarize it, but there's a great benefit in it in reference to the issue that we just discussed. The legend of Daima was asked in a lengthy question, extremely lengthy and detailed question, about social welfare charity organizations that are registered with the government known as Jam'iyyat Bir, yani a particular organization in the city of Jeddah in Saudi Arabia, and there are other organizations like this in the Muslim lands almost everywhere. This agency and others like them provide social services to orphans, children with special needs, such as those whose parents are in prison or those whose parents suffer from mental diseases, needy families, and so on. They offer financial aid, food, school supplies, and so on. And it was a lengthy question. In any case, yani these types of organizations collect different types of charities, from zakat, tabarra'at, yani just yani general yani charity, and so on. Yani different types of charities they collect, and they pretty much wanted to know yani whether or not they had some yani, was it permissible for them to mix these different types of charities and to distribute them to the families who are needy over periods of time according to their need, or do they have to separate them and do they have to distribute them in the time that's required for each one of them? That's the general meaning of the question. The answer that came is that it's obligatory for the jama'iyah, yani the charity organization, to distribute the zakatul fitr to those who are entitled to receive it before the Eid Salat. And it can't be delayed. It is not permissible to delay it beyond its time. This is because the Prophet ﷺ ordered that it be delivered to the poor before the Eid Salat. And the jama'iyah, the charity organization, is in the position of a wakil, a representative of the person giving the zakat, and therefore does not have the right to collect the zakatul fitr except in the amount that it has the ability to distribute to those who are needy before the Eid prayer. Meaning that some people collect the zakatul fitr in such large amounts that they are not capable, they are not able to distribute it in time, in the proper time to those who are entitled to receive it. And therefore they may distribute it in the days following, or in weeks or months following, yani whenever they are able to distribute. This is not permissible, that no wakil, no individual, imam, masjid, agency, should collect zakatul fitr in an amount more than they have the ability to distribute to those who are entitled to receive it in the time that it has to be delivered. It can't be delayed. And this is also a problem. Sometimes the masjids take more than they can handle. They don't distribute it in time after the Eid Salat, after the day of Eid, a week later and so on. They distribute it yani whenever they can to whoever they can. This is not acceptable. Additionally, it is not permissible to distribute zakatul fitr in the form of cash money. It cannot be collected, yani at the Eid grounds, before the salat is performed, in money, and then stored away to be distributed later on in the day, or the next day, or the next week. It cannot be, yani, collected in cash money unless it's in time to transform that money into foodstuffs and distribute it to the people who are needy before the salat. This is because the Sharia evidences have definitely indicated the obligation of distributing it in the form of foodstuffs. It is not permissible to skip over the Sharia evidences in preference to the sayings of any one of the people. And if the people who are obligated to give zakat give the jama'iyah cash money for the purpose of buying food for the poor with this money, then it is obligatory upon that agency to execute this obligation before the Eid prayer. And it is not permissible for the jama'iyah to distribute the cash money or to delay its distribution. The last fatwa is a fatwa combined of several questions, six different questions. What is the amount of zakatul fitr? Again, this is a question that was presented to Lajna Daima, the standing committee of the permanent committee of scholastic research and legal rulings in Saudi Arabia. What is the amount of zakatul fitr? When is it to be distributed? To whom is it to be given? And this question came from people in France. To whom is it to be given in France or in a non-Muslim land? Maybe where the majority of people are not Muslims. Is it permissible to collect it through the imam of the masjid and then distribute it to those entitled to receive it, even if it is distributed after some time, yani after the Salatul Eid or after the day of Eid? Is it connected to monetary inflation? And is it permissible to send it, for example, to the Mujahideen in Afghanistan, or adding it to the monies collected for building a masjid, for example? Okay, the first question, the answer, the amount of zakatul fitr is a sa', a measure in volume that's equal to about 2.5 kilos or 5 pounds. And again, Danny, this whole question of the sa' and the measure in volume and what would it actually weigh, it differs from one type of food to another, whether it's dates or barley or raisins or other than that. But in general, yani what should be distributed is, yani for each person who's responsible, one sa', a measure in volume of those things that are the staple foods of the people in that land. As far as time, its time to be distributed is the night before Eid al-Fitr, up to just before the Eid prayer. It is also permissible to advance it 2 or 3 days before the day of Eid. Here the Lajna Daima mentioned 2 or 3 days, and this is definitely a clear fatwa from Al-Imam Abdulaziz ibn Baz, rahimahullah, which he explained on many occasions that yani what is generally mentioned as a day or two before actually includes yani 2 or even 3 days before the day of Eid. What is best is that it be distributed on the night of Eid al-Fitr or on the morning of Eid al-Fitr before the Salat. However, it's permissible to advance it 1 or 2 or 3 days before the day of Eid. To whom is it to be given? It is to be given to fuqara al-muslimin, the poor Muslims. Two conditions. They have to be Muslim and they have to be poor or needy. And we also add that it's better though that they be worthy of those who are most worthy, if there's a choice between giving it to poor Muslims who are worthy and those who are not worthy. Meaning worthy being those who are observing the laws of Allah, trying to worship Allah, following the sunnah and so on, as opposed to those who are other than that. It is to be given to the poor Muslims in the land where the one giving it is residing. That is what is preferable. Though it is permissible to carry it to the poor of another land whose people might be, they said, more needy. The fourth question, is it permissible for the imam of the masjid or those like him who are trustworthy to collect it and distribute it to the poor? They said, yes, it is permissible for the imam of the masjid or the responsible person in the masjid, or the organization, Islamic organization, or those who are like them, but with the condition what? Who are trustworthy. This is very important, because some people, when they want to get rid of their zakat al-fitr, they'll give it to anybody who will accept it. It has to be given to a person who's trustworthy, with the agreement from that person, that they agree to give it in food to the people who are entitled to receive it in the time that it has to be distributed. So it is permissible for the imam of the masjid or those who are like them, who are trustworthy, to collect it and to distribute it to the poor with the condition that it reaches those entitled to it before the Eid prayer. Part of this question was, is the amount of zakat al-fitr based on monetary inflation? Meaning, if the value of the currency in a particular country goes up or down, does that have any bearing on the amount of zakat al-fitr that a person is required to give? They said its amount is not based on monetary inflation. And the reason why this particular question and its answer is very important, because in many of the masjids today, the masjid, the organization, the agency has decided that zakat al-fitr is going to be $10 per person. It used to be that they used to say a long time ago, I remember very well, that they used to say you only have to give $5 or $4 or $3 per person. Now it's up to 10 or 15 and maybe some places even more than that. How did it change from being $3 or $5 to $15 or $20? It changed because of the inflation of the currency. They said now the money is worth less, so you have to give more. The Lejna Daim is saying its amount is not based upon monetary inflation. And this is also a proof against those who argue for the permissibility of giving money as zakat al-fitr. Because as the value of the money changes, then the amount that these people in their own minds, yani according to their own authority, they legislated that we can change the amount from $5 to $10 to $15. Where did they get the authority to stipulate or to regulate or to determine what is the amount of money that should be given? This is a proof against giving money where Allah has legislated that it should be given as food in a particular specific measure of a sa'a, and that doesn't change no matter how much money goes up or down in terms of inflation or the value of a currency in any particular country. So its amount is not based on monetary inflation. Rather, the divine law has determined its amount to be a sa'a, yani approximately 2.5 kilos or 5 pounds. And whoever has no more than enough food for himself and those whom he is responsible to spend on for the day of Eid is relieved of this obligation to distribute the zakat al-fitr. Meaning that if a person on the day of Eid doesn't have any more food than what is necessary to feed themselves and their family, they're not obligated to give zakat al-fitr. However, as in another fatwa and other fatawa, some of the scholars have clarified, however, if a person receives zakat al-fitr on the night before or a day or two before, and as a result of that, even though they were poor or needy, and generally they didn't have enough food for themselves and their family, but because of the receiving the zakat al-fitr in a large amount on the day of Eid or before the day of Eid, that person has more than what's necessary for themselves and their family, that person is obligated to also give zakat al-fitr. In this case, it is possible that a person who receives zakat al-fitr, because they are needy, they are entitled to receive, they may also be required to give if they have more than what they need on the day of Eid. Wallahu alam. Yani these are some of the fatawa that came from the Lejna Daima, and these are general fatawa related to zakat al-fitr. And perhaps yani some of them have clarified some of the issues that we are dealing with from time to time. The second topic that we wanted to discuss today, and the time is extremely brief, remaining is the Salatul Eid. And this is indeed of the utmost importance. There's a tremendous difference of opinion amongst the scholars today in light of the circumstances that we're living in. And there were already differences of opinion concerning some matters related to Salatul Eid even before. Now the differences have increased because of the peculiar circumstances that we find ourselves in, with people being required to remain at home, movement being restricted, and so on and so forth. One of the students of knowledge in Saudi Arabia collected and summarized the opinions of some of the well-known mashayikh today, and they divided them into four categories, based on four opinions related to Salatul Eid. I'm not going to read the details, even though it's summarized, because we don't have a lot of time, but in any case, they said that when they surveyed the scholars, they found four different opinions related to Salatul Eid. The first opinion, Al-Qawl Al-Awwal, أنها تصلى ركعتين كصلاة العيد المعتادة لكن بدون خطبة لأنها كالقضاء. The first opinion, and this appears to be the strongest opinion, Allahu A'lam, is that the Salatul Eid, how should it be performed under these circumstances? That people are not allowed to go out of their homes, maybe there's no Salatul Eid being performed, or there's only limited attendance, only a few people are allowed to attend, so a person is not able to perform the Salatul Eid with those who are performing it, or there's no Salatul Eid aslan, being performed. They said, the first opinion is that it should be performed, in your home as two rak'ah, just like the ordinary Salatul Eid, as two rak'ah, but without there being a khutbah. And that is because this performance of the Salatul Eid is like the one who is doing Al-Qadha, meaning they are making up for that which they missed. They mentioned some of the scholars who held this opinion. We'll mention some of them. From amongst them is the Mufti of Saudi Arabia, Sheikh Abdul Aziz Ali Sheikh, also Sheikh Abdul Rahman Al-Barraq, Sheikh Salih Al-Fawzan, Sheikh Abdul Aziz Al-Rajihi, Sheikh Abdul Karim Al-Khudair, Sheikh Abdul Muhsin Al-Zamil, and others. These are some of the major scholars living today that are trustworthy scholars who held this first opinion, that if a person is not able to attend or there's no Salatul Eid in the place where they are, then they should perform the Salatul Eid at home as two rak'ah without a khutbah, with no khutbah. Okay, as far as the khutbah being attached to the Salat, when a person is performing it at home, there's a second opinion. The second opinion that they mention is that the Salatul Eid should be performed as rak'atayn ka Salatul Eid al-mu'tada wa yakunu ma'aha khutbah li'annaha ada'. And they said, the second opinion, they said that it should be performed like the regular Salatul Eid as two rak'ah, but it should be performed with a khutbah. And that is, their reasoning is because this performance of the Salatul Eid is as though the person is not making up the Salatul Eid, but they are performing it originally. These two opinions, perhaps, the second opinion, let me just say first that they mentioned some of the scholars who held this opinion. They said from amongst them is Abdul Muhsin Al-Mutayri from Kuwait, and they said Abdul Salam Al-Shurayr, and Abdul Rahman Al-Sahali, and others held this second opinion, and that is that the Salatul Eid should be performed at two rak'ah, but there should be a khutbah. And perhaps the difference of opinion here between these first two groups of scholars is that, what is more likely is that, if the people are making up the Salatul Eid, that would be in a place where there is a Salatul Eid. Meaning, the Salatul Eid in Saudi Arabia is going to be performed in Mecca and Medina, in the Masjid al-Haram and Masjid al-Nabawi. The second opinion is more close to the situation in which there's no Salatul Eid being performed. So they are not making up because they missed it, either due to the fact that they were not selected to attend or for whatever other reason, but rather they are performing the original Salatul Eid because there's no Salatul Eid being performed there. The second opinion is that there should be a khutbah. Perhaps a middle opinion is that, between these two opinions, if we accept both of them as being legitimate views, then, what should be done for the person who doesn't attend the Salatul Eid, for whatever reason, is that they should perform the Salatul Eid in their homes as two rak'ah, and if they made the khutbah, there's no harm in doing so, and if they didn't, it's not required of them. Wallahu a'lam. A third opinion, and we won't go into the details of that, are the opinion of some scholars who said it should be performed as four rak'ahat, And there is a narration from Imam Ahmed concerning the four raka'ah for Salat al-Eid for the person who missed it. And the fourth opinion is that, yani, that they are relieved. Yani, that the Salat al-Eid is not incumbent upon them. Since they were not able to do it, it wasn't performed in the prayer places or in the masajid that where the Salat al-Eid is normally performed. This is the fourth opinion, that it's not obligatory, yani, on a person to perform the Salat al-Eid. So, we will take the first opinion that, yani, those who are unable to perform Salat al-Eid, then they should perform it in their homes, and they should perform it as two rak'ah. And perhaps, yani, there's no need for them to deliver a khutbah. But if they did, inshallah, there is no harm, Allahu A'lam, due to the difference of opinion. As far as the first opinion, the Mufti of Saudi Arabia, Sheikh Abdulaziz Ali Sheikh, he has given a fatwa recently, yani, in light of the circumstances that we live in until today, concerning this Salat al-Eid in the homes. And the summary of what he said is that the Salat al-Eid, if the condition, yani, of this spread of the virus continues and it's not possible to perform the Salat al-Eid in the prayer places where it's normally performed or in the masjids, yani, that have been designated for the Salat al-Eid, then it should be performed in one's house. His opinion, duna khutbah, without any khutbah after the prayer. And then he mentions that there has preceded a fatwa from the Lajna Daima, yani the whole Lajna, or yani a combination of scholars from the Lajna, gave a fatwa previously stating that whoever has missed the Salat al-Eid and they desired to make it up, then it is good that they make the Salat al-Eid. Yani it's mustahab that they should do so, and they should perform it in its normal manner, but without the khutbah after the salat. And then the Shaykh, the Mufti, Shaykh Abdulaziz Ali Shaykh, Hafidhullah, he said, if the making up of the Salat al-Eid for the person who missed it is mustahab, in reference to the person who missed the Salat al-Eid with the Imam, yani the Salat al-Eid was performed by the Imam with the Muslims gathering together, if the person who missed it, for whatever reason, if it's mustahab for that person to make it up, then min bab awla, then it is more right and more befitting for the person who didn't miss it, rather than in a place where there was no Salat al-Eid performed at all. Then it's more right that that person, yani, should perform the Salat al-Eid, yani, that it's mustahab for them to do so, and this is because in doing so is the establishment of the sha'ira of Islam, yani, in reference to this day of Eid, yani, that is from the outward displays or manifestations or symbols of religious observation, that on the day of Eid the Salat al-Eid should be performed. So even if we are unable to go out and perform it in the Eid grounds in a public place or even in a masjid for whatever reason, then at least it still should be performed. And this means that a person is doing, yani, what they are able to do. And then he mentioned the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَاعَتُمْ. Then fear Allah, observe the laws of Allah, the obligations that Allah has set upon you to the best of your ability. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا أَمَرْتُكُمْ بِأَمْرٍ فَأْتُوا مِنْهُ مَا اسْتَطَاعَتُمْ. If I have commanded you with any affair, then do it to the best of your ability as much as you can. I want to close this particular topic, yani, by saying that in summary, there is difference of opinion concerning this matter. What appears to be the closest to what is correct is that those who are unable, for whatever reason, to perform the Salat al-Eid because they were not able to attend, they were not selected to attend, or there was no Salat al-Eid, then it should be performed. We should perform it in our homes as two rak'ah. And also, yani, there's no need to give the khutbah, but if a person does so, inshallah, there's no harm. So, here I just want to note, yani, from Dr. Ahmed Muhammad al-Najjar, who is a professor or a lecturer at the College of Ulum al-Sharia in the Jamiat al-Marqab in Riyadh. He gave a detailed explanation concerning this situation, and he basically said that the condition that we're living under today puts the people in two positions, either being in a place where there is a Salat al-Eid or being in a place where there is no Salat al-Eid. Most of us are going to be in a place where there's no Salat al-Eid. In any case, basically he said concerning this, you know, that if a person is in that situation, then from the maslaha of the Salatul Eid is that it should be performed. Yani it's something that should be performed. And this is understood, yani first he mentions the hadith of Abu Huraira, reported by Sunan of Abu Dawood, in which he mentions that يعني أصابنا مطر في يوم عيد فصلى بنا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم على عيد في المسجد. يعني one day we يعني rain came on the day of Eid and we were unable to perform it outside. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم led us in the Salat of Eid in the masjid. And this hadith, the Shaykh mentions, this is the indication that even though the Salat of Eid is legislated to be performed in the Eid grounds outside, but because of the importance of Salat of Eid, if that wasn't possible, then it still should be performed, even if we perform it inside the masjid, as it happened on one occasion in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He also mentions that from this is also an indication that if the Salatul Eid, the importance of the Salatul Eid is, yani, its importance is such that it should be performed even if, yani, we couldn't do it in its normal manner outside, due to difficulty, then this, yani, is to a greater extent, yani, understood in the situation where by dorori, yani, by necessity, we cannot perform the prayer outside. Yani, it's not even due to just difficulty of rain, rather, we have no choice to perform it outside. Then that's more so a reason why it should still be yani, performed, it should still be observed, yani, in whatever, to whatever extent the people are able to do it in their homes or whatever. And then he mentions several narrations. Even though it's quite lengthy what he has mentioned here, I'm just going to mention some of the proofs that he mentions concerning this particular issue. He says that there are evidences that the Salaf, that they yani considered yani the performance of the Salatul Eid, even if a person had to perform it at home, and that they should perform it as turaka. The first thing that he mentions is from that which is reported by Abdul Razak in his Musannaf, from Hushaym, from Ubaidullah ibn Abi Bakr ibn Anas, an jaddihi Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, annahu kana yakunu fi manzilihi bi zawaya. Fa'idha lam yashhad al-eid bil basra, jama ahlahu wa waladahu wa mawalihi, thumma ya'mur mawlahu Abdullah ibn Abi Utba, فَصَلَّ بِهِمْ رَكَعْتَيْنِ. That Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, yani when he was in his home, in the place, yani outside of Basra, and if he wasn't able to attend the Eid, then he would collect his family and his children, and those who were under his, yani who were, yani, he, yani, how shall we describe mawali, yani, servants, like this, yeah, na'am. Then he would order him, and then he would yani lead them in the prayer as two rak'ah. Al-Imam al-Bukhari comments concerning this, yani he mentions a narration with the wording, and Imam Bukhari mentions it with the wording allaqahu, yani means that he didn't narrate it yani with a complete isnad, but in any case he still mentioned this, meaning that yani there could be some question about the complete authenticity of it, that requires another discussion. But in any case, the wording in Bukhari came, يعني معلقا كان يجمع أهله وبنيه فصلى بهم كصلاة أهل المصر ومصر مصر نعم وتكبيرهم. يعني that Anas ibn Malik رضي الله عنه, if he didn't perform the Salatul Eid with the Jama'ah, with the Imam in the Musalla, then he would gather his family and gather his children, and he would lead them in the prayer the same as the prayer of the people, yani the main prayer in the town or in the city, and also with with takbir. In another narration, it's narrated by Abu Bakr ibn Abi Shaybah in his Musannaf concerning those who had missed the Salatul Eid from Afa rahimahullah. He said yusalla rak'atayn, يُصَلِّي رَكَعَتَيْنِ وَيُكَبِّرُ. Yani that a person who missed the Salatul Eid, he should pray two rak'ah and he should also do the yani takbir. It's mentioned concerning this narration that if a person had missed the Salat with the Imam, the clarification of it is that if a person missed the Salat with the Imam, then he would pray the prayer similar to the Salat of the Imam, yani as two rak'ah, the same way that the Imam does it. And it's all, he mentions another narration that if the people came to the prayer ground and they met the people, yani returning, meaning they missed the salat, then he should enter the nearest masjid and he should perform the salat of the imam, yani perform the salat of Eid in the same way that the imam had performed it. And likewise, the same thing if a person came out to the salat of Eid, did not come out to the salat of Eid, then they should also perform the salat of the imam, meaning perform the salat of Eid in the same way that the imam has performed it. He mentioned from Hamad that whoever didn't reach the salat, yani on the day of Eid, yusalli mithla salatihi, yani he should perform the prayer the same way the prayer of the imam, wa yukabbir mithla takbirihi, and he should make takbir the same way that the imam does. When Abu Ishaq was asked about a man who comes to the day of Eid and the imam has already completed the prayer, finished from the prayer, he said, yusalli rak'ataini, then he should perform it, and he should pray two rak'ah. And then he mentions, and after these narrations, which show that many amongst the scholars of the Salaf, that they believed if a person missed the Salat al-Eid, that they should still perform it. If they missed it with the imam, they should perform it as two rak'ah. He says that this prayer should be performed in the same way, yani in the same manner as the normal Salat al-Eid is performed, yani in the first rak'ah with 7 takbirat, and in the second rak'ah with 5 takbirat. And his time extends up until yani Zawal al-Shams, yani the time for the person to perform it is up until the end of the time for Salat al-Eid, which is just before Salat al-Dhuhr. Naam. Okay, after that, just quickly, I want to mention how Shaykh al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, in his book Al-Jami li-Ahkam Fiqh al-Sunnah, Volume 2, pages 19 to 22 and pages 27 to 28, yani the summary of what he mentioned concerning the Salat al-Eid, I just want to close with this summary of how al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah has mentioned the description of Salat al-Eid. Yani we just mentioned that the Salat al-Eid should be performed in the same manner as the imam does, and that is with 7 takbirs in the first rak'ah and 5 takbirs in the second rak'ah. And this is a matter of fiqh about which there is room for some difference of opinion, no doubt, in terms of the number of takbirat and the manner in which it's performed. But in any case, if a person doesn't have the ability to look at the various views of the scholars concerning the description of Salat al-Eid, then here's one view that inshallah you can feel comfortable with. Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen rahimahullah says, in the first rak'ah the person should recite takbiratul ihram, that is saying Allahu Akbar. Next, they should recite al-istiftah, the opening supplication, like the saying subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika wa tabaraka smuka wa ta'ala jadduka wa la ilaha ghayruka. Then they should pronounce 6 additional takbirs, raising the hands with each additional takbir. This is how the Shaykh described it. Takbiratul ihram, then dua al-istiftah, the opening supplication, and then 6 additional takbirs, making 7 total. Then the person should recite al-isti'adha, yani seeking refuge in Allah from shaitan, saying a'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim, or any other authentic yani dua of isti'adha. And then the person should recite al-fatiha, the opening chapter of the Quran, and then they should recite another chapter of the Quran, the Shaykh says, like Surah Al-A'la, this 87th surah, or other than that. First rak'ah, takbiratul ihram, saying Allahu Akbar. Then opening supplication. Then 6 additional takbirs, raising the hands with each additional takbir. Yani some of these matters, there's a difference of opinion. This is how the Shaykh has described it. Then al-isti'adha, saying a'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. Then al-fatiha, and then reciting Surah Al-A'la or any other surah that a person might know if they didn't know that surah. In the second rak'ah, he said, pronounce 5 takbirs, not including the takbir for standing up from the first rak'ah, raising the hands with each takbir. Again, the Shaykh said what? There's a takbir for rising up from the first rak'ah, and then he said 5 additional takbirs, any addition to the takbir of rising from the first rak'ah. Then reciting isti'adha, seeking refuge in Allah from shaitan, a'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. Then reciting al-fatiha, then reciting another surah from the Quran, like Suratul Ghashiyah, the 88th surah of the Quran, or other than that. These two surahs, Surah Al-A'la and Surah Al-Ghashiyah, are mentioned in the Sunnah, and there are also other narrations that mention other surahs, but the point here, the Shaykh is saying, or other than that. Maybe a person doesn't know these surahs, and they might think, how can I then perform this salat? I don't know this surah or that one or the other ones that they mentioned, or other than that, whatever a person knows. The Eid salat is performed before the Eid khutbah. If we're performing it in jama'ah, there's no adhan or iqamah for the Eid salat, and there's no sunnah rak'ah before or after the Eid salat. And the Shaykh says, yani in this Jami' al-Ahkam Fiqh al-Sunnah on page 27 and 28, the Shaykh says there's no qada makeup for the one who has missed Salatul Eid. What is important here is how the Shaykh has described the Salatul Eid. For whoever doesn't know how to perform it, then yani there are two rak'ah. In the first rak'ah, there are seven takbirat. The first one, followed by dua of the opening, followed by six additional takbir, followed by seeking refuge in Allah, Surah Al-Fatiha and a surah of the Quran. And the second rak'ah, after saying takbir for rising up, five additional takbirs, saying A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Rajeem, reciting Al-Fatiha and a surah from the Quran. If a person knows those that are narrated in the Sunnah, that is absolutely better. If they don't, whatever they know. And even though now we are over time right now, a few minutes over time, I just want to close with mentioning a few matters related to the guidance of the Prophet on the day of the Eid. Al-Alama Ibn Qayyim Al-Jawziyah, he has mentioned some matters related to the day of Eid, and their hadith, and he narrated for most of these things. We just want to quickly run through them in case a person doesn't know. Some of them are specifically related to those who are going out to perform the Salatul Eid in Jama'ah. Inshallah, some of us will be doing that, walhamdulillah. And some of them are yani related to everyone, whether they are going to perform the Salatul Eid in Jama'ah or they're going to perform it at home in Jama'ah. He says, first thing, the Prophet ﷺ used to always perform the two Eid prayers in the Musalla, yani in an outside place, if a person is able to do that. I don't think anybody will be able to do that in this year. He only performed the Salatul Eid in the Masjid one time due to rain. Second thing, the Prophet ﷺ used to wear his best clothing when he went to the two Eid prayers. This is something that a person should do, even if they're praying their prayer at home. The Prophet ﷺ used to take a ghusl, complete bath, for both of the Eids. This is something that a person should do, even if they're praying at home. He also used to eat an odd number of dates before going to the Eid al-Fitr prayer. And this is something that a person should do also, even if they're not going out to the prayer. They should make sure that they are not fasting by eating an odd number of dates. As far as the Eid al-Adha, then it's different, a different ruling. Also, he said the Prophet ﷺ used to go out to the two Eid prayers walking. If a person is able to do so, that's preferable. If they are going out to an Eid prayer and they are not able to walk, then it's permissible to use some means of transportation. The Prophet ﷺ used to go to the place of prayer by one road and return by another road. If a person is going out to the Eid Salat, then they should try to observe yani this Sunnah. He also mentioned that whenever the Prophet ﷺ finished the Salat, he would stand facing the people while the people would be sitting. Then he would deliver the religious advice or exhortation, and he would begin the khutbah with praise of Allah. Yani this is for those who are going to be performing the Salat al-Eid yani in Jama'ah, yani not at home. He gave the permission to those who attended the Eid prayer to either sit for the khutbah or to leave. Yani that whoever attends the Eid khutbah, once the prayer is performed, it's performed first, yani then the people are given the option to listen to the khutbah that follows the prayer, or they may leave. This is from the Sunnah. Whenever he reached, yani the Prophet ﷺ reached the prayer ground, the musalla, he would begin with the salat, yani before the khutbah, and there was no adhan and no iqamah and no saying as-salatu jami'atan. Yani there's nothing that should be said, rather the imam should get up and lead the prayer and then after that give the khutbah if it is being performed in public, in a public place for the people in jama'ah. Okay, this is what we are able to present today, and even though we went a little bit over time, may Allah forgive us for that. We hope that inshallah this is of some benefit. I don't know for anybody else, but too many questions came to me in the last couple of days. And I'm sure some people are getting more questions than we are getting here. So we hope that inshallah some of those questions are answered here. And we will also be sending out some notes to those who are able to reach with some of what we have mentioned in this session today, so that it will be easy for you to refer back to it. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Next week at this time, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, we will continue with the topic of the impact of the Qur'an in mending the hearts. Allahu a'lam about the time. Probably it will be the same time. But anyway, we'll be sending out a notice to that effect, one way or another during the week, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. We hope that everybody knows that there has been an official announcement made that the Salatul Eid will be on Sunday. So alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, due to His mercy and His kindness and His benevolence, has given us another day, another night to pray in the night, and another day to fast and earn His reward and nearness to Him and seek His forgiveness. And this is indeed a tremendous opportunity for us to seek the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that which every one of us is in dire need of. May Allah grant success to each of us, to myself first and to each of you, in what remains of this month of worship, of prayers and fasting and reading of the Quran and charity and kindness and just the observance of dhikr and dua and whatever a person can do of good to earn the reward of Allah and nearness to Him and to earn His pleasure. May Allah grant us success in doing those things correctly in the way that has been legislated in the Sunnah, and doing those things sincerely for Allah alone. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.